ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 28 एंड 29. Chapter entitled Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. So I'll chant and read the text 28 myself, and then we'll chant 29 together. Text 28. Sri Guru Putra Uvacha na mat pranitam na para pranitam suto vadati esa tavendra satro नैसर्गिकी कियं मतिरस्य राजन् नियच मन्युं खद अदास्ममाम्ना. Translation: the son of Sukracharya, Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, said, O enemy of King Indra, O king, whatever your son Prahlad has said was not taught to him by me or anyone else. His spontaneous devotional service has naturally developed in him. Therefore, please give up your anger and do not unnecessarily accuse us. It is not good to insult a Brahmana in this way. Text 29. Please repeat. Sri Narada Uvacha. Guru naivam prati prokto bhuya aha surasutam nachet guru mukhyam te kuto abhadra sati mati. Sri Narada uvacha guru naivam prati prokto bhuya aha surasutam nachet guru mukhyam te kuto badra sati mati. Mataji's, please.
Thank you.
Sri Narada Vacha. Narada Muni said, Guruna, by the teacher, evam, thus, pratipokta, being answered, bhuya, again, aha, said, asura, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, sutam, unto his son, na, not, chet, if, guru mukhi, issued from the mouth of your teacher, iyam, this, te, your, kuta, from where, abhadra, O inauspicious one, asati, very bad, mati, inclination. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Sri Narada Muni continued. When Hiranyakashipu received this reply from the teacher, he again addressed his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu said, you rascal, most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it? Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that devotional service is actually bhadra sati, not abhadra sati, abhadra asati. In other words, knowledge of devotional service can be neither inauspicious nor contrary to etiquette. To learn devotional service is the duty of everyone. Therefore, the spontaneous education of Prahlad Maharaj is supported as auspicious and perfect. Om Ajnana Timurandasi Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pracharne Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we can see how in the material world, with material consciousness, really good friends become enemies instantly. When the goal of life is sense gratification, there is no question of developing any good qualities. We simply live a life of superficiality. There is no substance to anything we say or do. Bhagavatam actually gives in the 12th canto a whole list of how superficial things will become due to lack of proper guidance and Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga. One of the things Bhagavatam says is, Dambatyam Ratim Evahi. It says, for example, marriage, which was, based on duty and dharma, religious principles and Krishna consciousness, will simply become based on bodily attraction. People will come together simply based on bodily attraction, and as soon as there is change, there must be change in the material world, everything is changing. The first thing that changes is our minds and the bodies. Bodies are constantly changing. The only place where the body don't change is in a photo. You can keep the photo of a person, it remains the same. Otherwise, the body will change. So as soon as the bodily attraction is not there, immediately there is separation, there is divorce. And there is so much attachment and so much frustration and anger. Like one officer from the New York Police Department, he explained how even when they fight gangs, the police, they're not so scared, but they're really scared of getting involved in a domestic violence. Because there's so much attachment and infatuation and lust is there. And as soon as it's frustrated, you don't want to get involved. It's so scary. So here we see how Hiranyakashipu instantly turned against his own son, Prahlad. Can you imagine? Like the son is most dear. And his loyal employees, Sanda and Amarka, they were so loyal to him. But immediately he was accusing them and he was so disturbed with Prahlad. No discrimination. So this is the nature of a demon. Demon doesn't mean somebody, you know, with the horns and tail and pitchfork and like this. Bhagavatam is referring to the consciousness. In the Ramayana, the same thing is illustrated. How when Ravana kidnapped Sita, Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, being so compassionate and he loved Ravana so much, he was giving some friendly advice to Ravana. He said, Ravana, you have everything a person could imagine, but just give back this Sita. You brought death upon yourself. And he gave the example, just like a person who is like really, really thirsty, decides to drink a jar of poison to quench his thirst. Similarly, Vibhishan was explaining to Ravana, just give back to Sita, you know, you don't understand who Ram is. And just for this nice advice, even though Vibhishan was a well-wisher, Ravana immediately branded him, oh, you know, your enemy's man. You must be the man of Ram. That's why you're canvassing that I give back Sita. So anything or anyone that doesn't fit my motives immediately becomes my enemy. This is the demoniac mentality. And Prabhupada gives a couple of examples in the Krishna book. The example of the uncontrolled senses personified, Kamsa. Kamsa was, you know, celebrating his sister's wedding so nicely, and he heard this voice during the procession that, Kamsa, you fool, you celebrating this wedding so nicely, you don't understand, your sister's son, eighth son, is going to be the cause of your death. So immediately all this consideration went out the window that, you know, she's my sister and I'm a Kshatriya, I'm not supposed to kill a woman, what to speak of my sister. Immediately Kamsa drew his sword to, you know, behead her, kill her sister on the spot. And Vasudev, being so smart and Krishna conscious, he pacified Kamsa, saying, Kamsa, everyone is going to die. What's the big deal? Why are you surprised? This is the most common thing in this world is death. This is what happens all the time. And even if you think the death is going to come and you want to stop it, it's only your sister's eighth son who is going to kill you. So why you want to kill your sister? Let your sister go. I will bring to you every one of my children so you can kill them. So, you know, Vasudev's words were so powerful, and Kamsa knew this is a person, when he says something, he will do it for sure. Doesn't matter how inconvenient it is. So Kamsa let go of Devaki, and amazingly enough, when they first had the son, first son, Vasudev actually brought the son to Kamsa. So here you go, this is the first son as I promised. Even though Kamsa was a demon, still he was so amazed to see the qualities of Vasudev. how truthful he was, how honest he was. Can you imagine handing over one of your children to a demon, knowing that he's going to slaughter the child? So still he did it. And Kamsa's heart actually melted, softened for a moment. And Kamsa actually spoke. You see the association of a pure devotee. Kamsa said, "Oh, you know what? It's only your 8th child I'm afraid of. So you don't need to give me your first son. You take him, no problem." And Vasudeva was thinking, this is too good to be true, you know. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains how you cannot trust a person with uncontrolled senses. You can never trust, because their mind and senses are constantly changing. So this moment is letting go of my child, and any moment he's going to kill my child and all of us. This is what Vasudeva was thinking. And sure enough, Narada Muni appeared to Kamsa, and he wanted to accelerate, speed up the process of Krishna's appearance in this world. So he told Kamsa, "Kamsa, you fool, you're letting go of the first child of Vasudeva. That could be Krishna. How do you know? The demigods are appearing all over the place, and you know, why are you trusting and let go of this first child?" And immediately Kamsa arrested Vasudev, Devaki, put them in prison and killed the child. So this is the example. Another example Krishna gives, Prabhupada gives, is that of Indra. Even Indra was not a demon, he was a demigod. Still, when things were not favorable, immediately Indra became upset. When Krishna killed this demon, Bhaumasura. And Bhaumasura had all kinds of jewelries and thrones and umbrellas that belonged to different demigods. And Krishna took the earrings of the mother of Indra, Aditi, right? Aditi's earrings. And Krishna actually went all the way to the heavenly planets to return to Indra, saying, you know, this is your mother's earrings, I wanted to return to you. And Indra acted as if he was so grateful, and he gave obeisances and he glorified Krishna like this. And Krishna actually went to the heavenly planets with his wife, Satyabhama. She's like famous for being like very possessive and like this. So Satyabhama saw the Parijata tree, and she remembered how once Narada Muni had given Rukmini Devi some of the Parijata flowers. And Satyabhama was transcendentally disturbed that one of her co-wives has received Parijata flowers. So she had in mind, I'm going to get the Parijata tree one day. So when Krishna took her to the heavenly planets and returned the earrings to Indra, she saw this Parijata tree. So she uprooted the whole tree and kept it in the Krishna's Vaikuntha airplane. And seeing this, Indra immediately became disturbed. "How dare you? You come to my kingdom and you take my tree." So immediately Indra wanted to fight. Can you imagine? Everybody, he knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and Krishna has personally come to do him a favor, and just for a tree, Indra was willing to fight with Krishna. And as Prabhupada explains, as usual, Krishna was victorious and Indra was humbled. This is the position of the material energy. Any moment we can be overwhelmed. Prabhupada, Indra Dumna Maharaj actually gives the example how Prabhupada explained this very nicely in one of his pastimes. Prabhupada and Indra Dumna Maharaj were traveling, and they came across this customs officer. And the customs officer was like actually very, very rude. to Prabhupada, he was like very harsh. And Prabhupada always carried one of his white small briefcases with all his belongings. So the customs officer ordered Prabhupada, "I want to see that bag, what's in it, open it." And it's an old Indian bag, so the locks were kind of hard to open. Prabhupada was trying hard to open. And the customs officer became like really heavy with Prabhupada. And so, "I wanted to see that bag, what are you doing? Open it." And Indradumna Maharaj, young man full of devotion and enthusiasm for Prabhupada, just leaned forward to the officer and said, "If you talk to my spiritual master one more time like that, I'll break your face." Immediately this guy backed off and he was like, "I thought you guys were supposed to be peaceful. What are you talking like this to me for?" And Indradumna Swami said, "Yes, we are usually peaceful, but if you talk to a pure devotee like that, then I have the right to punch you in the face." So immediately took a humble position, this officer, and said, "Oh, why don't you open it, young man?" So Indradumna Maharaj opened it and showed them, and then they were on the way out. And Prabhupada actually stopped and made this point to Indradumna Maharaj, saying, because they are associating with the modes of material nature, Indradumna, they have no good qualities. And Maharaj's head was still spinning from the exchange, so he couldn't quite understand. And they walked a little bit more, and then Prabhupada stopped again and said, because they're hovering on the mental platform, they have no good qualities. And again they walked a little bit, and again they stopped, and Prabhupada again said, because they are associating with the modes of material nature, they are going down and down and down. Do you understand, Indradumna? And finally, for the third time, hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee, Maharaj understood what Prabhupada was saying. But Prabhupada gave an amazing solution. Not just criticizing people on the modes of material nature. Prabhupada said, but if we can revive their Krishna consciousness, all their good qualities will be awakened and they'll be saved. So this is the Krishna consciousness movement. This is what it does. It revives our original consciousness. Prabhupada gives the example of the milk in the purports of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, just like milk has gone bad, sour milk. Similarly, the pure consciousness of a living entity is contaminated due to the association with the modes of material nature. But the amazing thing is, usually when the milk is gone bad, you have to throw it out. You can't do much. But in Krishna consciousness, there is an art of bringing back the sour milk, again making it into good milk. So this is the solution. And Prabhupada talks about the difference between Vaikuntha mentality and material consciousness. Material consciousness means the things we are discussing. I, me and mine, no understanding of karma, future life, what to speak of Krishna, understanding Krishna, nothing. On the other hand, Vaikuntha mentality means, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, summarized, Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadu vargenava kalpita. Gopi bartu padakamaliyo dasa dasa dasanu dasa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant 100 times of the maintainer of the gopis. So Vaikuntha mentality means everyone else first. Put all other devotees, everybody else needs first. Living a life full of compassion and sacrifice. There's so many examples actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How devotees are always worried about others' welfare. See, the material conscious means we are always worried about ourselves, how to take care of myself, how to defend myself, what will happen to me. But Krishna promises if we just spread Krishna consciousness, if we just take care of other devotees, we are automatically covered by doing so. We don't have to individually worry about ourselves. Like Radhanath Maharaj gives the example of the redwood trees. The redwood trees, they're actually really, really tall and many, many thousands of years old, and they're so huge. Some of them, even if 20 grown-up men, if they hold hands together in a circle, still they can't cover it. It's so big. But the amazing thing is the roots of the redwood tree, they're not so very deep. They don't go very deep. They kind of spread sideways. But what happens is, even though they spread sideways, they interlock their roots with other redwood trees nearby. So when the heavy wind or hurricane or anything approaches, they support each other. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, if we stay together and have the right attitude towards other devotees, then that's the way to be protected against Maya. The example is given like when King Prataparudra, Lord Chaitanya said very directly that, you know, he may be such a great personality, but just the fact he has this word king attached to his name, I won't even see him in my dreams. It was kind of heavy situation. But the devotees like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were constantly meditating and praying and coming up with plans how to introduce him to Lord Chaitanya and make him one of the close associates of Lord Chaitanya. When Kala Krishnadas fell down with one of the Bhattahari women, Mahaprabhu brought him back, says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, pulled him back by his hair and said, "We both are in the renounced order of life. Why you give me a hard time for? You're supposed to be serving me, not disturbing." So Mahaprabhu sent him back to Bengal. And he, you know, Mahaprabhu was very upset. But the devotees took care of Kala Krishnadas and gave him service and took care of him. Same thing happened with Chota Haridas. When Mahaprabhu banished him, devotees were giving him so much support. Generally, like, you know, when we're not so elevated in our consciousness, if something happens to another devotee, you know, we kind of say like, "Oh yeah, you know, I knew this was coming and such a rascal. He deserved worse, but Krishna is so merciful. Just came a little slap." You know, like this, we're kind of a little bit happy, like, you know, one person less, one person down. But the pure Vaikuntha consciousness means you're so much in anxiety how to help another devotee. In the Mahaprakash Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in... Rarely he would, you know, exhibit this mood that is supreme. Usually he was in the mood of a devotee. And he would close his ears if somebody called him God or Krishna. So in Mahaprakash Leela, he was giving benediction to all the devotees, but he never called on Mukunda. Mukunda was one of his really dear associates. So the devotees asked Mahaprabhu, like, "What about Mukunda? You have not called on Mukunda's name to bless him." And Mahaprabhu transcendentally exhibited his anger. Said, "Mukunda, he's such a rascal. He's going and hearing from the Mayavadis. And the Mayavadis saying, I have no legs, no arms, no heads. I have no form, no personality. They're blaspheming. And Mayavadis... And Mukunda is going and associating with them. I won't see Mukunda for 10 million birds." And the devotees were very much disturbed. It's not like, "Oh, I got my benediction, you know. Sorry about that, Mukunda, you know. See you later." It's not like that. They were very much concerned. Same thing with Sachi Mata. Lord Chaitanya also didn't call on Sachi Mata. Because growing up, Lord Chaitanya's brother, Vishwaroop, was very closely associating with Advaita Acharya. And he became so renounced and detached that Vishwaroop left home and took sannyas. And Sachi Mata had only one son left, namely Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she was in so much anxiety. I have only one son, you know, Nimai is so beautiful. I want him to marry, have children, just like, you know, every mother's dream. But again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took sannyas and left home. Sachi Mata was disturbed and she said, it's all due to the association of Advaita Acharya. I lost both of my sons. So just for saying this, Mahaprabhu was very disturbed. So Mahaprabhu said, unless you go and beg, unless you go and get the dust of the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya, I will not give you love for God, even for his own mother. And the problem is, Advaita Acharya would never allow Sachi Mata to touch his feet. So one time, Advaita Acharya fell down unconscious in a kirtan and Sachi Mata took this opportunity to take the dust on his head. So these are the qualities of a Vaishnava. Compassion, humility, no envy, always putting others first. Yashyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunaistatra samasate sura. Bhagavatam says, all the good qualities develop in a person who's taken to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada is spreading Sanatana Dharma far and wide all over the world. And the benefits of Sanatana Dharma, Krishna consciousness, is so amazing. Even if somebody understands a little bit, they're saved. For example, growing up, I remember there was this neighbor, this lady. She was a Muslim. The whole family is Muslim. And this old lady's grandson and I, we were close friends. We went to the same school. We played together all the time. And my friend's father, he had this fighting roosters. He would train them, he would feed them almonds and he would make them swim and make them strong, and this way they can go for fighting. So as a little kid, you know, we were fascinated to see these big roosters, you know, and fighting and this and that. So one day we were watching these roosters fighting, me and my friend, and the grandmother came with a broom stick. And she started beating all of us. We were all like running for life, you know. And she had the understanding of karma, even though she's a Muslim lady. She said, so many kids in our family, they're born blind. Because when the roosters fight, they have such sharp nails. And the first thing they attack each other is they destroy each other's eyes. So the grandmother had this understanding. And because of this, so many kids in our family or born blind. So she was chasing all of us to, you know, stop this. It's amazing how, you know, just little understanding, just associating with the neighboring Hindus, she got this. So this is the benefit. Even a little understanding of Sanatana Dharma will bring so many qualities in us. On the other hand, even when people are disconnected from Krishna consciousness, from Sanatana Dharma, even in the name of religion, people bury themselves in so much ignorance and bad karma. For example, in South India, the state of Kerala is very highly populated by Christians. I don't know if you ever met a South Indian Christian, they're the worst. They're like so obnoxious and like, they're like snakes. They make the Bible Belt Christian look like peaceful guys. So these Christians, their diet, It's actually like 20% grains and 80% beef. So in India, they grab all the cows from the neighboring states like Chennai and Tamil Nadu and Bangalore and Andhra Pradesh and Orissa like that. They ship all the cows to Kerala because they buy them for good prices and they eat beef. So in India there's like about 1.5 billion people and they say it's hardly like 100,000 cows left. They're eating them. It's such bad karma, it's so sinful. It was Indira Gandhi, the granddaughter of Nehru. She was actually like passing this law saying any useless animal can be like slaughtered. No problem. And people call these cows useless animals and they slaughter them, you know. And so many sadhus and Sankaracharyas and Babas and, you know, Vaishnavas, they were actually protesting against this law that useless animals, even if they're cows, can be slaughtered. And she actually ordered that they be shot. These peaceful sadhus that are protesting against cow killing. This Indian Prime Minister, she ordered that they be shot and many people, many sadhus got killed. It's funny enough, she got killed by a gunshot. So this is the position. Kali Yuga is so scary. Prabhupada said, in the future that the oil will run out. So people can use tractors to plow the field. So they will have to depend again on the cows and the bulls to plow the land, to grow grains. But the problem is, by that time they would have eaten all the cows and bulls. Every cow and bull. So they have to go and plow the field themselves. And people don't have the idea or energy to do that, so they will eat each other, Prabhupada said. So unless we distribute Krishna consciousness, especially in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books, there is actually very little hope. But by receiving Prabhupada's books, people's life change in an amazing way. Like for example, I'll end at this point. My mother, who was actually born in a Vaishnava family, devotee family, she didn't have a guru, she was not chanting fixed number of rounds, you know. She was pious. But now, after I came to Krishna consciousness, I gave her Prabhupada book, she read, and then she's got initiation, chanting 16 rounds and following the principles and preaching Krishna consciousness. She's actually in Tirupati, that's her birthplace right now. And she is there for the GBC meetings. My Guru Maharaj is there and she's cooking for my Guru Maharaj every day. Big feast, and my Guru Maharaj brings all his friends, GBC members, to take prasad also. So much mercy. Even it's funny how Prabhupada's movement is so amazing. My Guru Maharaj is from New York and Prabhupada is from Bengal and of course they're all from the spiritual world, but Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness in the West, and then my mother is from an Orthodox Hindu family, and see how we go beyond all this bodily concept on the transcendental platform. She's getting to serve a guru in her own birthplace, finally, by receiving Prabhupada's books in New Zealand. It's like Vaninath's parents, they're actually taking initiation next week from my Guru Maharaj. I got a book, I gave him a book, and he gave them a book. It's just inconceivable how these things work. We can't figure it out. We just have to distribute. We can't understand how these things happen. We can calculate how the mercy works, Mahaprabhu's mercy. So this is the only hope in Kali Yuga, otherwise it's a really dark time. Everybody is turning into mini Hiranyakashipus, Ravanas and Kumbhakarnas. So thank you for your kind attention. Is there any quick comment or question? Rabindranath Prabhu. Rabindranath Prabhu is asking, where is that from that Prabhupada said people will eat each other because there will be no cows to plow the field? This is what Giriraj Maharaj said in one of his memories. Giriraj Maharaj, I think he was even speaking here, that he was just repeating the words of Prabhupada. Amala Bhakta Prabhu, can you give the microphone, please?
Unless there are other questions, I have a comment. Is there anyone else who has a question? It's just very brief, and maybe you can assist us. You gave the story, very wonderful story of the Mahaprakash, and Mukunda being outside and not being called in by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is giving out boons and blessings as if they're going out of style. And Mukunda, as you said, is very dear to him. Why wasn't he giving him blessings and boons? And then you gave the reason as to that Mukunda goes around listening to all these people who talk about metaphysics and impersonalism and stuff like that. But would you like to finish the story? Because the end of the story is really the most delicious part of it.
You please give us the nectar.
You sure you don't want to?
No, you please.
Well, as you mentioned, everyone was all the other devotees were very concerned that Mukunda, who sang very beautifully, he had a very sweet voice when he sang bhajans, everyone was virtually stunned by the beauty of his voice and the depth of his devotion. So when Mukunda, who was outside listening to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in the form, who was in the mood of Lord Vishnu at that time. He was not in the mood of the devotee. He had put on, he actually manifested himself for 21 hours as Lord Vishnu. So when Mukunda heard that for 10 million years he would not get to see the Supreme Lord again, the normal reaction would be tears and distress and upset. But he was so humble that when he heard this, he began to dance and clap and chant. And he was so happy. And the devotees saw him jumping and dancing up and down. Why would he be happy about this? So they asked him, they went out and they asked him, yeah, Lord Chaitanya said, go out and find out why he's dancing and why he's singing like this. So they asked him, and he said, it is amazing that a person is so fallen and wretched and worthless and useless as I will be able to see the Lord in 10 million years. Why, that's such a small amount of time for a person like me. So this was his depth of humility. In other words, his position was he didn't even have a right to see him now. Didn't have a right to see him tomorrow, 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years. Didn't have any right to see him. But the Lord, being so merciful, so kind, so warm, and so considerate, will see me in 10,000,000 years. Wow, what a benediction. So this is the proper attitude that a devotee takes. Not he's worthy, I've done so much service, I'm so glorious, I deserve to see the Lord. Why aren't you coming? Why aren't you manifesting? He doesn't have that attitude. His attitude is rather, whatever I have gotten is more than I deserve.
Hearing this attitude, Mahaprabhu called him in immediately and saw him and gave him blessings. Tomorrow we'll hear from Balagopal Prabhu more nectar. Stay tuned in. Thank you, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.